Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the host of the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call that I've been hosting for 18-plus years. I want to thank you for tuning in to tonight's call. This call is not on Periscope this evening. I do it randomly, so I am not on Periscope. I will be in the very near future. It's very interesting to be able to do a Periscope call and a live conference call at the same time. Takes exceptional multitasking skills. So if you are on tonight's call for the first time, I want to thank you for joining this call. This call is officially being recorded and is available for playback at podomatic.com. We also send it out at noon Eastern Standard Time. If you are on Facebook, we send it to all of my Facebook friends and followers. It's available at noon Eastern Time, 9 o'clock Pacific, around that time that it does go to Facebook. And it is absolutely available for playback. You can go to my website, www.goldenmastermind.com, and you can access all of the previous calls that I've done for the last 6-plus years. I will cover a few quick announcements and then move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have an exceptional call planned for you called Developing Your Story and Letting Go of Your Story. This Saturday, the end of an era, January 30th, the next to last day of January 2016, I will be in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, for the first and only time in 2016. I was in Denver one time last year, and I typically make one trip to Denver, and this will be all she wrote this Saturday. It'll be a great hotel, the Marriott in Lone Tree, Colorado, and it will be me, myself, and I producing and performing all day from 9 until about 3:30. February 6th, I will be in Columbia, South Carolina. Carlotta Davis is my host this evening, and she is on tonight's call. Thank you very much, Carlotta, for hosting the event and being a first-class friend and client. This will be the first event that Carlotta has ever hosted for me. Next Saturday, February 6th in Columbia, South Carolina, the capital of the beautiful state of South Carolina. That will also be an exceptional event where I will be sharing the stage with myself. February 13th will be Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my first trip to Philadelphia. I usually speak in Philadelphia 3 to 4 times, so that will be the first of a few times this year in Philadelphia. That is at the DoubleTree Hilton at the Philadelphia Airport. February 26th, Don Ferrantino and I will be sharing the stage together in Clark, New Jersey. Don is an exceptional multiple six-figure income earner, mompreneur, business owner, inspirational speaker, and a first-class woman. This will be the first event that Don is hosting, and it will be standing room only in Clark, New Jersey, February 27th. Don is on the call, and thank you very much, Don. March 5th will be my first speaking engagement in Salt Lake City, Utah, in about 5 years. Salt Lake City was a very friendly place for me for a number of years. On any given year between 2006 and 2011, I spoke there about 10 times. I spoke there many, many times. March 5th will be my first event back to Salt Lake City, Utah, and I want to thank Adrian Carbonell for hosting that event. March 12th, I will be in Los Angeles, California, in Marina Del Rey with Brittany Cara and Tara Romano. That'll be a fabulous event. March 19th, I will be in Newark, New Jersey. Now, tickets are starting to sell for this event. This is the Joe Dispenza Alexis Romano event. If you have not purchased a ticket for this event, it will be sold out. There's room for about 700 seats, give or take. That is Saturday, March 19th, and Joe Dispenza will be speaking in the afternoon from around 2 to 4. March 26th, I'll be in Boston. April 2nd, Cleveland. I just added that to the roster. I have an open date that I will soon fill on April 9th. April 16th, my first trip ever to Bozeman, Montana. April 23rd, my first trip to St. Louis, Missouri, my home away from home, one of my all-time favorite cities in the United States. And April 30th, Norwalk, Connecticut. And those are some of the events for the next few months for the one-day More Heart Than Talent event. Now, the March 19th event is a Millionaire Blueprint event, and I am in the process right now of booking Caesars in August for the Millionaire Blueprint event, and that will be on a Saturday. That will be from 12 to 4 at Caesars in August right in front of a large corporate event. It'll be a Saturday at Caesars Hotel from 12 until 4. Now, I also am very excited. Before I move to the inspirational portion of tonight's call, I'm going to be hosting my first live prospecting clinic for the first time in several years, and I'll do a lot more prospecting as the year goes on. I'm going to be doing live dials, and I will be recording it. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to record it because of some of the recording laws, but it will be recorded. It's definitely a call you want to log into and listen to it live. It will be March 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. And I will be calling live leads. These will be business card leads, Craigslist leads, leads that I create online, off LinkedIn, off Facebook, referrals, and I may ask some of you to send me some of your leads, and I will let you know exactly how that will operate. That will be live dials, me calling in and calling the leads while you are listening to me, calling the leads and qualifying them for my time. Now, you can find this event, you can find how to register this event on my website, www.goldenmastermind.com. At the very top of the page, it says, purchase here, prospect the prospecting clinic, and you can also go to prospectingclinic.com. Go to prospectingclinic.com. $97 gets you a four-week seat to that epic event, and once again, that will be March 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th, and with potential for a free bonus week, because I want to cover some content on how to really set yourself up to be a master prospector. Then on next week's call, I'm also going to cover 7 tips to closing a sale on next Tuesday night's call, the 7 keys to closing. That will be next Tuesday night's call. Now, tonight's call is develop to your story. There are 2 stories. There's the story of your past that becomes your identity, and then there's the story of your present and future. Now, if you are holding on to a past story that doesn't serve you and is your identity, then you will attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of overwhelm, anxiety, and disappointment. If you don't know why you do what you do, if you continue to do what you don't know what you do, if you're not sure, if you're uncertain, or you live in doubt, or you stay overwhelmed, and you continue to perpetuate a set of feelings that perpetuates the same old story, then you'll create the same identity. When you continue to make statements and affirmations that you don't even know you're saying, and you speak consciously, unconsciously, and you make statements like this, this always happens to me, I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble, I don't want to fail, I don't want to offend someone, or any multitude of statements that inhibit or keep you doing the same thing over and over, that is your story. When you say, I'm not good at, then you continue to be right. Now, if you want to let go of being right so you can be prosperous, then you would have to change the dialogue you have with yourself, your dialogue with asking, receiving, and deserving, and you must learn to be and stay present. How do I change? People ask me this frequently. Well, it's not how do I change. Why aren't you committed to changing? Needing to change, trying to change, hoping to change, liking to change are future tense statements that have no commitment. If you are committed, then you are committed, and you can't commit by needing to. You can only commit by committing. Committing is a skill. Committing is a decision. And if you're not decisive, then you'll be indecisive, and that will be your story. One of the most common stories that perpetuates people's story is their inability to finish. If you're a chronic starter, it's a direct reflection of your shiny object syndrome, your tendency to be and stay overwhelmed, your tendency to be a neurotic perfectionist. Now, if you use perfection to create a neurosis, then it allows you to avoid the perceived outcome that typically never happens. Changing your story, what does that really mean? It means letting go of a past story that no longer serves you. And if you have a story that you're not good enough, then you'll attract people and situations to fulfill those feelings. If you live in an emotional state of anxiety, which is a direct reflection of anger, resentment, and hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, then that story becomes your identity, meaning that is who I am, this is what I do, this is what I attract. If you're in a real estate business, if you're in a direct sales business, a network marketing business, if you're in an internet marketing business, you create transactions, but you also must create attraction. And you will attract to your reality people and situations to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem, or you'll attract people to fulfill your feelings of empowerment, enlightenment, and prosperity. Then you can also add reciprocity to that equation, and that allows you to really be that person that you've dreamed of becoming. How do you be that person? How do you change your story? Well, you'd have to address your addictive emotional state that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. Changing your story starts with honesty. You cannot change when you're in denial. When you continue to, I don't know why I do, when you live in doubt, the space between fear and faith, when you have your foot on the dock and your foot on the boat, then you are stuck. If you're stuck in a story, then you continue to do the same thing over and over. One of the most common stories that an employee has is they can't quit their job. You don't understand. My situation is unique. My situation is I'm in debt. Well, that's not typically a story. That's a fact. But when you are so overwhelmed with your liability debt and you focus on your debt, you can't focus on your prosperity. That's your story. When you're so stuck in your emotional state that you can't let go of the control that keeps you out of control. On 4 back-to-back clients, I went over the same story of letting go of control. Letting go of control is not physical. It's not linear. Pressure is an illusion. The more you understand cause and effect of what control really means. Control means you haven't separated yourself from a set of events that have become your feelings, and you stay in control of that control to be out of control. I'll say it slow. When you are in control, it typically means that you're holding on to a set of feelings based on past events. It could be a violation, it could be a story, it could be fact, it could be fiction, but you've created a story around an event. Your unconscious never misses a moment. Your subconscious and your unconscious collude together to form an identity. Your subconscious has taken a picture of every event that's ever happened. It's virtually your Akashic records. In the world, in the universal law of truth, the Akashic records are a record of every leaf that's ever fallen. Well, your subconscious does the very same situation. If you're walking down Tom's River on a sidewalk back in the late 60s or late 70s or mid 80s or early 90s and a leaf fell on the ground, where your subconscious recorded it. You may not remember it, but your subconscious has a memory. And this is why words have power. Words are law. Words do not return void. And when you use a series of words that disempower you, then that will keep you in action. But when you begin to use words of action, commitment, decision, then it creates a centrifugal force in your subconscious, which triggers your unconscious, triggered by your reticular activating system, which is fired by your amygdala in your limbic brain, and you move into action rather than inaction. And that becomes a different story. When you don't like rejection, that's one of the most common common effects that people use to maintain a story of inactivity, to avoid perceived pain that isn't real. That's unfortunately what many people do. They create a story about an outcome that hasn't happened, and that story becomes their reason to avoid. Avoid means to procrastinate, or i.e. in Latin, procrastinare, to avoid. And if you're a chronic avoider, then typically you're a chronic starter and not a finisher. And if you use over-obligation as a means to stay overwhelmed, because that's your story, and if being overwhelmed is your story, then your body will continue to secrete neurochemicals that keep you overwhelmed in fight or flight, stuck in cortisol, doing the same thing over and over. That relegates you then in that story to stuff your feelings with food, compulsive spending, gambling, drugs, alcohol, sex, any multitude of situations that keep you perpetuating a set of low self-esteem that keeps you overwhelmed. If you are overwhelmed, then your story becomes, I don't know where to start. One of the most common stories that people create is the big story. Their story is so big, their events are so big, their situations are so big, that it gives them a reason to avoid. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. And if you don't know where to start, then don't know becomes a major component of your communication style. A large percent of society is completely emotionally unavailable, checked out, and unaware of the words they use in their communication style. There isn't a day go by that I coach that I don't point out to my clients that they're using "I don't know," "I need to," "I guess," and "I'm not sure." These are the most common ways that people perpetuate their doubt. If you live in doubt, that virtually means that you're staying in the safe zone. Your safety zone is your comfort zone, which is your failure zone. You stay safe by avoiding failure, but you stay disappointed because you don't risk for reward. Now, if you are so done with this, if you are overwhelmed, if you lived on a series of couches, you don't even own a car, you're in so much liability debt, you've been through so many trials and tribulations, you've walked away from so many obligations, then you're not living in rigorous honesty. You're living in denial. If you continue to do the same thing over and over and stay disappointed, then continue to tell yourself this story, "I don't know," then you can't possibly change. And if you continue to lie on that nail of denial, you're laying on the nail and you're bleeding, and I walk by and I go, "Get up, Jerry. Get up, Susan. Here, let me give you a hand up." And you go, no, "I'm looking for a handout." And I point out to you that you're lying on a nail, and you go, "I know, but I'm not bleeding to death." And I go, "You're bleeding." You go, "But it doesn't hurt that bad. I'm going to lay on this nail and figure it out. I'm going to read another book. I'm going to listen to a podcast on this nail. I'm going to hire a coach on this nail. I'm going to use the last piece of liability debt to get me one of them there success coaches who's going to make me successful." Well, I got a hot flash for you. A coach, a mentor, does not make you do anything. And when you give your power to that kind of situation, then typically what you do is you set that coach or that mentor up to disappoint you, because you're not really serious to changing, because you're so sensitive and defensive that you take it personal. And if you take it personal, then you will create a story about rejection so that you can justify avoiding rejection. People do not reject you. Change your perception about rejection. First of all, in any kinds of transaction, people typically don't buy from you because, number one, they don't see the value, they're not interested, they're uneducated, they prejudge a situation before they see it, and you have to understand that that's predictable. But if you turn that into a story of rejection and abandonment, and then you take it personal, then you'll have challenges getting off the launching pad the next time around when you dedicate blocks of time to transformation. See, there's a difference between an intention and a commitment. You can intend to do something, but if you don't follow through, then it's not a commitment. And as many of you know, if you continue to stay overwhelmed, then that keeps you neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings that keep you avoiding. Avoiding is one of those common stories that affect free enterprise. A large percent of the population that enters free enterprise with the big deal story. They're going to create a big deal. They're big deal chasers. They start a business for freedom, not really understanding what that means. Owning a business does not give you freedom. What could possibly or potentially give you freedom is the leverage. But the leverage must be earned from the skills, the mindset, and the habits. But if you're not willing to stay in the game long enough to master your emotional state, then you'll continue to perpetuate the same story over and over. How do I change my story? You change your story by changing your words. You change your story by changing how you've been changing. You change your story by committing to changing your story. If you want to be a millionaire, well, welcome to the big leagues. That unequivocally can happen, and it can happen faster than at any time in the history of network marketing, direct sales, free enterprise, internet marketing, real estate, insurance, financial planning, and intellectual property. Any multitude of those businesses, either as a combination or solo, can allow you to become a multiple six and a seven-figure income earner. But you can't bring the same story into the game of free enterprise that keeps you overwhelmed, average, in liability debt, wondering why you do what you do. If you can't change your identity with food, if you can't change your identity with any addiction, then you'll bring your addiction into free enterprise and attract the same type of people to fulfill your disappointment. In 2001 or 2000, there was a great movie starring the great Bruce Willis. It was called The Kid. The Kid is an absolutely world-class movie. It's one of those spiritual movies. My friend Stephen Simon, who produced the movie, movie What Dreams May Come, which won an Academy Award. He also produced the movie Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve, when Christopher Reeve was absolutely at the peak of his game with Jane Seymour back in 1979. He produced that movie. He also wrote a book called The Force Is With You. It's about spiritual movies that have meaning that change their lives. Well, the kid was in that book. I bought that book as Stephen Simon spoke at one of my events and was featured on this call once in 2003. Well, in that book, in the movie, he featured the movie The Kid. In that book, he featured the movie The Kid. The Kid is about Bruce Willis, who does makeovers. He's not a very good human being. And in the movie, his 8-year alter ego shows up, and he can't get this overweight young boy out of his life because the young boy that's in his life is himself at 8 years old. And the two of them have to resolve an event that created a story. And the kid goes, look, dude, I don't want to be in this any worse than you do, but if you don't take a look at this story, I can't go back to my other life. So he does this. He goes through a series of events. He's not a very good human being, and he and the kid get the opportunity to go back and redo this event that happened when he was 8 years old. And the movie has so much meaning because he finds out that he misinterpreted the event, and he let that misinterpretation of that event be his identity. It created his low self-esteem, it created his unresolved anger, and created this bad person that he became. When he was able to take a look at the event from a different perspective, a different view, after a period of time, he changed his mindset about the event, and he began to change his life. Now, that's a metaphor for what we can do. Events shape our feelings. Feelings become our moods. Moods become our identity. It's not the effect that you want to address. It's the cause. If you're overwhelmed, you procrastinate, and you tell yourself a set of stories that you fear failure. It's one of those common stories that people tell themselves. I fear failure. I don't want to fail. What that really means is that you don't want to be responsible. That's a whole different perspective that you'd have to be rigorously honest about cause and effect and why you do what you do. Success would contradict your struggle. If you've been a noble struggler or if you led the struggler's hit parade, well, success would contradict that. Because if that's your identity, if that's your story, then letting go of that story would put you in a position that you'd have to master the moving parts of success. Success has many moving parts, and the more successful you become, the more money you desire to create, the more skilled, detailed, and organized you must become. Take a look around at your life tonight and ask yourself, am I organized? Am I disciplined? Or ask yourself this, am I rebelling against my success? Is that your story? Are you a rebellious rebeller? Do you wing it? Do you not want to conform to a set of standards that will allow you to succeed? Do you actually have dedicated blocks of time to being successful, or do you spend most of your time getting educated? Education is a component of success, but action is paramount. The place that most of you will avoid is the place that you perceive the most painful. Your ego will do everything in its power to lead you away from pain, and it will lead you to a place called safety. Your safety net or your safety zone is typically your failure zone. Your comfort zone is your failure zone. You have to be willing to risk for reward. And there's not a lot you're really risking. You're risking letting go of your ego. But if your ego is so strong and you're so holding on to that identity, then you're going to have challenges letting go of the control that keeps you out of control of the control you're in control of. That's a lot of control. That was 5 controls. What does control really mean? Control is not linear. Control is not physical. Control is you holding on to a story based on a past event that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. And if you have to be in control, then you're going to have challenges letting go of control. If your story says, I can't let go of control because I wouldn't know who I'd be if I wasn't in control. Well, I can't fly in a plane because I can't control the outcome. Statistics will prove that there's only a few plane tragedies a year in the world and in any given country. There are thousands of more automobile accidents that happen that tragically take people's lives. Only a few lives are lost in a calendar year on a commercial jet airliner. There are more plane wrecks with smaller planes, but still, that doesn't even register with how many automobile wrecks and people losing their lives in automobile accidents. It doesn't even register. But if you're so in control of your control that you can't set on an airplane, there's a high probability, because the reason that that happens is because you can't control the outcome. This also creates a spastic colon situation. This creates other diseases. This creates anxiety, overwhelmed, acrophobia, a whole multitude of situations that you must be in control of your control. As you begin to let go of control, you can change your identity. But if you've been a noble struggler, if you have challenges succeeding, if your dialogue with money isn't conducive to creating it, if you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, or if your innocence was lost as a child because you had to become a grown-up, then that typically becomes your story. Another very common story that a large percent of the population has challenges letting go of is their codependence. If you have never read the book Codependent No More, or any multitude of books that have been written or co-authored by the great Melody Beatty, or you've never heard Melody in any of her podcasts or recorded calls, you unequivocally deserve to understand that content. Codependent has more than one meaning. Typically, it means to do too much. It means to over-obligate, to enable. Now, if you're an addicted abler, an addicted over-obligator, or a chronic giver, there's a high probability that has become your identity and it has become your story. It's going to inhibit your ability to ask, receive, and deserve. And if you feel uncomfortable asking because you have a story around it, you don't want to offend someone, you don't want to upset someone, you don't want to pry in someone's affairs, most importantly, you do not want to bother someone. Who am I to say this? Now, here's another common story. I haven't made any money, so I can't create any money for someone else. I haven't made any money, so I can't recruit anyone who might want to make money. I haven't made any money in this thing, so I don't know how I'm ever going to succeed. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? When you make your story about you, then you're not going to be able to ask people about their story. Your objective when you are communicating with people is to find out if the people that you're communicating, connecting with have a problem. Your objective is not to tell the story about what you're marketing unless you have to. That's the benefits and the features. You want to be able to leverage that story through a video, through an event, through a seminar, through a workshop, through a website, through a podcast, through a three-way call, or any multitude of situations where you are not the issue. But if in your story, if you have to be the issue, and meaning not that you're arrogant or eccentric, but if you tell yourself that you have to educate the populace, and if you just talk more, if you just explain more, if you just give more benefits and features, then surely someone will see the value, not necessarily. When you're in your story, if you have no value and you've devalued yourself because you have low self-esteem, if you've been violated, abandoned, neglected, abused, if you grew up in a household where your father checked out or he was an alcoholic or your mother, or you grew up with someone who was passive, aggressive, and you had to explain, validate, and justify yourself, well, that's going to be your story in today's world because that's what you do. You talk too much, you over-explain, you get started, you ask four or five questions in a sequence, not letting the other people answer your questions. When you get a compliment, you don't hear it because you're checked out. Because you're not skilled at receiving. You're skilled at giving, talking, over-obligating, and doing too much. And if that's your story, those are codependent tendencies. You want to learn how to be independent. You want to change your story. How do you change your story? With words. You change your stories with affirmations. To affirm, to state, to declare. And when you're able to, when you start to write your own affirmations and you write them in present tense, it can be a component of change. But a very important component in an affirmation is you must believe what you speak. If you don't believe what you're speaking, then that's disbelief. That means not believing, which creates your contradiction and your mixed message and doubt. And if you telegraph your feelings, if you telegraph your uncomfortability, then you'll attract to your reality the people and situations that will ask you the very questions you sought to avoid. I hope they don't ask me how much money I've made. That becomes your story. How do you change that story? Well, first of all, How much money you've created is not important. What is important is that you become skilled at asking the questions in a sequence. What is important is that you become skilled at interviewing people in a very relaxed emotional state. When you learn how to let go, and letting go is not only a learned behavior, letting go is a skill. Letting go is a decision. To be able to let go, you have to let go of these two words, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. How do I? How do I? How do I? These are some of the words you'd have to learn to let go of. Yeah, but. Yeah, but creates your contradiction. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, but. You don't understand my situation. My situation's unique. I have a story that I have to hold on to so I can stay disappointed. I know you're giving me great insight, but I'd rather hold on to my story, lay on the nail, and bleed a little bit. I know I'm not bleeding to death, but this story is familiar. I can hold on to my story because I can stay in control of the control that keeps me in my story. You don't understand, Mr. Entrepreneur, Mr. Success Coach. I'd like to change, but I'm not comfortable with changing. I'm just going to stay in this story, go to seminars, events, put these events on my credit cards, hire 19 different coaches. I'm going to get me a LinkedIn coach, a social media coach. I'm going to get me a branding coach. I'm going to get me a coach who's coach to coach. I'm going to get me a coaching certificate. I'm going to watch a lot of coaching videos, and I'm going to coach myself to stay in this story. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They become educated. They don't become prosperous. Education is not the key to success. Education is a component. But you must re-educate your expectations. Now, when you expect to go to a restaurant and set in an exceptional table, then that's what you will receive. When you learn to ask for what you deserve, then you will receive more of what you ask for. But when you accept any old thing, because that's who your story is, that's what your story is about, then there typically will not be a parking space right up front for you. When you take the path of least resistance, oftentimes you will create a path of ease. But when you take the path of most resistance, when you have to be in conflict, overwhelmed, and you do the same thing over and over to perpetuate the same story, then you get the proven result. You get familiar. When you are so done with this, when you are ready to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, then you will change your story. How do you change your story? With words. You change your stories with 5 to 15 words that end with a sentence. You begin to declare, you state, you affirm, you make a resolution, you start to change your resolve, and you change the way you've been changing. You start to affirm that you are good enough, that you are lovable. This becomes a new story. You begin to live more present moment awareness. You live in the now. You spend less time in your past. You spend less time yeah-butting. You get real clear that many of the people you grew up with continue to use guilt to control you. And if you let them use guilt, that's your story, then you're going to resent yourself and resent them, even though you're going to continue to be and stay guilted. A big component of your story and change is you have to let go of some of the people who no longer serve you. That is not a black and white issue. That is a commitment that you have to decide what is fact and what is fiction. And you have to be able to go, yeah, but. One of my clients recently let me know that she was going to move to another city. Her family members were very upset with her. How dare you move away from us? I can't believe you'd take the kids away from us. We're never going to be able to see you. And see, that's a story that a lot of family members will use, guilt to control you from you living your dreams. You have to be able to ask yourself, how much are my dreams worth to me? The people that tell you they love you, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's not a black and white issue. You'll have to differentiate between fact and fiction. You'll have to decide what is important to you. But if you continue to tiptoe quietly through life, and that's your story, you don't want to make any waves, you don't want to create any controversy, you don't want to encounter any conflict, I don't blame you. Conflict is not the recipe to success, but sometimes it's necessary to confront yourself. When people throw conflict on you, that doesn't mean that you have to be in their conflict consciousness, but you have to be able to address it. When a prospect gives you an objection, you have to be able to confront the situation diplomatically. But if you have anxiety about confrontation, then you typically won't ask the question required to find out what the real problem is. When you begin to live in the solution, that's a new story. You're no longer in the problem. When you start to create results that are prosperous and profit consciousness, that will change your story of living in broke thoughts, denial, overwhelm, poverty consciousness, and compulsive debting. If you're a compulsive debtor, you live in a lot of liability debt, then here's your story. You won't understand your financial records that you have. You won't understand the obligations you have. You won't understand your mortgage. Typically, what you'll have is a 30-year mortgage. Unfortunately, for most people, a 30-year mortgage means you're renting. Mortgages are front-loaded. Many of you don't understand this. So most of the payments that you pay only the interest. You're not biting into the principal, and you continue to pay LTD, long-term debt. You'd have to change your story, change your dialogue, change your action. You'd have to actually commit to change. Committing to change isn't a story. Committing to change becomes a fact. When you start to understand the facts and start to become objective, then you'll let go of putting so much pressure on yourself to stay positive. Being positive is a component to success, but it's not nearly important as action. You can be positive all day long and not create any action. Action is paramount. Action is the repetition and the experience, practiced one day over time to create the emotional discipline to create the action. The action created in any type of sales environment means you have to qualify people for your time. You have to be able to ask a series of questions to see if there's a problem you can resolve. If you can spot or find a problem, there's a higher probability that you can provide a solution. But if you talk at someone, talk over someone, talk around someone, have anxiety about your lack of a story, or uncomfortable with your story, your story is this: you're in the process of change. You're relatively new at the process. You've been in the game a year or two. You're learning the skills, the habits, and the mindset. You don't have to share everything you've been through with the prospect. Your objective is to be able to, in a very relaxed perspective, in a very relaxed situation, ask a series of questions to see if the person you're communicating with is relatable. You want to be able to use fact-finding, rapport-building, and small talk to see if you can bridge a story. As you start to create an emotional connection, you heighten the law of averages of a transaction happening. Even though the story means people buy from people they like, there is merit to that, but people also buy when they perceive value. But if you devalue yourself, you telegraphed a mixed message, and you virtually ask the prospect or the communication or the person you're communicating with to ask you the very question you seek to avoid, then voila, you're right back where you started, disappointed. When disappointment is your story, you'll attract people and situations to fulfill your disappointment. Hence the term addicted to disappointment. Typically, what you control is being disappointed. When you avoid an outcome that you've created a story about, by avoiding it, you're going to stay disappointed. You can stay in control of not failing and being disappointed. That's what you control. If you go, huh, I'm starting to understand it. Good. That means that you're breaking through. Your story, you want to be able to start to practice the story you're going to create. You want to practice the keynote speech that you're going to give one day, whether it's in August or January, wherever that's going to be. You want to be able to envision yourself sharing your story. You want to be able to have your story down. 10 years ago, I was in $100,000 worth of liability debt. I had reached an emotional rock bottom. I came to a place in my life where I was so done with this. I would not be denied. I dedicated the next 2 years to honing my skills. Nothing miraculous happened overnight, but I started to feel the compounded effect in year two. By year three, a whole different type of person began to show up in my reality, in my personal life, my business life. A whole different set of situations started to happen. I went from being overwhelmed to productive. And in a 24-month period, I became a multiple six and a seven-figure income earner. I want to thank all of the people in this audience who were there with me, who assisted me to get to where I am today. I want to thank you for who you are. See, that's how you tell a story. Instead of this story, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to be. And if you don't have clearly defined goals, then you don't have a business. I ask many of my clients, why did you start a business? The most common answer I get is a checked out answer. I want freedom. I want to give back. I want to pay it forward. Well, that's freaking great, dude. Was that what you were dreaming when you were 10 years old? giving and serving is definitely a component of success. It's definitely a component of being a good person. But what about you? What about your story? You have to have it personal about your story. It has to have meaning. You have to feel that edge of your story. You have to be willing to go through the jungle to find the land of paradise. You have to be willing to stay in the game long enough to find that angsty angst, that passion that you require, that resolve that I will not be denied, that I'm so done with this edge. You have to find that edge. You have to be able to tap into that emotional anger that you've repressed and stuffed and stored so you can find your passion. And if you don't have any passion, then you're probably passive. And if you're passive, you have a story around being passive. If you're passive, you're probably aggressive at times. And then you're also in that story, you're sensitive and defensive. Oh, yeah, you say you want a coach, but when a coach diplomatically challenges you, it pisses you off. You get a chip on your shoulder. That's your story from a past event. And that coach that's attempting to assist you, they're not violating you. You're creating a story around being violated so you can set that coach, that mentor, that leader up to disappoint you. And if you think I'm talking about you, that is correct, Chief. I'm unequivocally talking about you. If you have a lip that goes over your top lip, your bottom lip, then you're pouting. If you're pouting and brooding, you got a chip on your shoulder, well, you're never going to succeed like that because that energy isn't attractive. You don't have any attractor factor when you're a victim. You have to be able to come from being a victor. You have to be able to come from letting go for people to feel your energy, your energetic vibration. If you're in the process of change, it's going to come from awareness. It's going to come from bliss. It's going to come from joy. It's going to come from love. It's going to come from purpose. It's going to come from contribution. It's going to come from enlightenment. But it can't come from anger, resentment, hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. That kind of energy will perpetuate a set of feelings that will create low self-esteem that keeps you in the same story. You don't understand my situation. I can't leave this relationship. I can't afford to leave this relationship. You don't understand my situation. I can't leave this job. I have bills to pay. You don't understand my situation. I have kids in college. I have to keep this job that barely keeps my head above water. You don't understand my situation. Yes, I do understand. I understand that you're a chronic validator, justifier, and explainer. I understand that you don't have the courage to succeed. You stay discouraged so you can fail. You either have the courage to succeed or you'll be discouraged and continue to be disappointed. Discourage means not of courage. Courage is a quality that never goes out of fashion, and there's always a market for it. You have to be able to take a look at the story you keep telling yourself. I can't leave this relationship. I can't leave this job. I can't move out of the state because of my family. I can't let go of this part-time job because I can't find the time. I can't start cleaning up the wreckage of my past because it's so big. I don't know where to start. These are components and statements of a story. That story is your identity. That kind of identity will never get you the parking space in front of the restaurant because that kind of enlightenment doesn't happen to people like you because people like you are addicts. I used to be people like you. I'm a recovering addict, and I had the same story. Here was my story. I can't see myself not drinking. Drinking was such a way of life for me, and I had such a story around scotch and vodka and champagne and white burgundies and Shoshana Montrachets and Dom Perignon, and it was all a story. It was all a lie, because what really happened, I graduated all the way down the rabbit hole to Popov vodka. When I graduated to the bottom of my bottom, and my story was I can't stop drinking, I was drinking Popov vodka for about $9-$10 a gallon. I was so overwhelmed that I couldn't see myself not drinking. I had lost the will to live. And that is called rock bottom. That is the worst story in your book. Rock bottom is so overrated. It does not have to be chapter 7 or 8 in your book. There's no real benefit to hitting rock bottom other than there's nowhere to go but up. Sometimes that can be liberating, but I highly suggest that you don't create rock bottom your story. And obligations and responsibilities, if you keep walking away from your responsibilities, if you're not financially honest with yourself, if you're not taking care of your obligations, If you're a chronic debtor and that's your story, how can you ever attract people who are prosperous? Well, you don't understand. My debt's so big, I don't know where to start. I do understand. You start one day at a time. If you're not putting money away for yourself, you don't understand. I need every dime I have. If you can't put away $100 a month, how can you attract someone who's skilled enough to put away $1,000 to $10,000 a month? You can't if that's your story. Your story is going to attract and magnetize people who are part of your story. You'll attract people who will violate you, overwhelm you, seduce you. You'll attract the same type of energy to fulfill that story. When you begin to change your story, when you become consciously aware, that's when a different type of person will begin to show up, provided this, that your actions are in alignment with your words. But if there's a contradiction in your words and your actions, then you'll attract other people to perpetuate your contradiction. When you become rigorously honest, you can attract other people who are honest also. When you're not committed to your word, you'll attract other non-committed success seekers who live in a contradiction to fulfill your contradiction. As you begin to become real with yourself, as you have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect, as when I don't know is not one of your statements in a sentence, when you let go of the word guess, when you become certain, when you live in belief, when you have a sense of certainty that's empowering you, you will let go of your disempowering thoughts and feelings that continue to overwhelm you so you cannot start. When you're neurotic about your outcome, you can't start because you can't control that outcome. What you can control is being disappointed. When you have to be perfect, when everything has to line up with Jupiter and Saturn, when everything has to be perfect, when you can't shoot a video, when you can't finish your sales funnel because you don't know how to shoot a perfect video, when you shoot a video and it's never good enough, that's because you're not good enough. When your story is you're not good enough, then you will continue to create situations of overwhelm. You'll never really get started. When you're not certain if you can pull this thing off, when you're not certain how you're going to control tomorrow or next month, then that gives you the excuse not to start. That's your story. As you begin to change your story of I am capable, I am lovable, I am good enough, I'm no longer the mind-body connection to the events that have shaped my feelings. I am no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped my feelings. That means you can look at the events and no longer let the events own your feelings. The events are the events. The events happened. When you stop giving your power away to perpetrators, violators, passive-aggressive personalities, family members that use guilt to control you, people that resent you, when you begin to stop giving them power, when you stop following them on Facebook, when you unfriend them, block them, take them out of your newsfeed, block them from your phone, take them out of your email list, stop giving them power and giving them attention. Yeah, but they're my only family. Yeah, no, that might be your blood family, but there's plenty of people in the world that deserve to be connected to you. Now, I'm not saying it's hard. I'm not saying it's difficult. I'm saying it's new. But when your story is it's hard, then you're a hardaholic. But when your story is it's new, you can begin to change your story. But if you continue to create the same situation over and over, then this always happens to me syndrome. Me, oh, my, oh, son of a gun. I mean, that's what happens to so many people. Me, oh, my, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. Well, if that's your story, you're going to continue to create the same situation over and over. Your story is exhausting. When you're exhausted being exhausted because of the story that exhausts you, then you'll consider letting go of the control that keeps you out of control. Letting go is not physical. Letting go starts with a decision. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go means you create the decision, then you'll figure out the outcome later. You'll figure out the details later. Many people have to know all the details, because that's their story. They have to know all the details before they can start. And so they can never get all the details, and they never have to start. One of the biggest stories that hinders you is your anxiety about responsibility, meaning the ability to respond. A large percent of the world gets overwhelmed. They get overwhelmed trying to control an outcome that hasn't happened, and that's their story. I'm not sure what to say. Well, it's not what you say, it's ask. You ask the questions in the sequence. I haven't made any money. I can't represent the product because I haven't been true to the product. Well, the product gets results, but your results aren't indicative of most of the people that use the product. You're using your anxiety, your low self-esteem, to create an excuse not to create a result. When you create an excuse not to create a result, you're disappointed. That's your story. Disappointment is a way of life for a large percent of the population, and that's why they are addicted to disappointment. When you continue to attract the same people over and over that violate you, then you continue to live in that story. That becomes your law of the lid. You'll graduate up to 2,000, 4,000, 8,000. You might even get up to 10,000, 15,000 a month, but that will be your law of the lid because you can't let go of control of that story. Well, I don't understand. My whole childhood is a blur. A woman said this to me recently, that she couldn't remember anything between 0 and 7 years old. I asked her where she went to grade school. I asked her who her teacher was. I asked her who some of her students were. She knew all of those answers. I was able to assist her to break down and break through her story. But when you say, I can't remember my whole child, what does that actually mean typically? What is the significance? Our brain takes events, and we create meaning out of the events. And then the meaning out of our events can become our identity. And in our identity, then we'll attract people over and over so we can identify the feelings of past events, whether we understand them or not, to perpetuate the same set of feelings to create a story. This always happens to us. If you grew up with a deadbeat dad or a father who promised to show up to pick you up on his day and he didn't show up, there's a high probability that becomes your story. You'll attract other lovers and soulmates and people in your circle of influence who will show up to perpetuate those same feelings that you never let go of the father who never showed up for you. Now, when you begin to understand cause and effect, and you understand that the mind-body connection to those events no longer have to shape your feelings, then you can let go. The events are the events. But when you begin to separate yourself from your feelings about the events, then the events don't own you. That's how you let go. But when you continue to say, I don't understand, how do I let go? How do you understand what events it was? I don't understand. I can't remember. I don't know. Of course you know. You were freaking there. It was about you. You were there. You saw it. You witnessed it. But if you continue to live in denial of the events that shape your feelings own you. You don't own them. Then you can't have any command of your feelings. You don't have command. You don't have auto-suggestion. You can't create the reflex. You can't ask the questions in a sequence. You're not quick enough in your neurological network to ever succeed at selling, marketing, or branding because you're perfect. You have to be perfect so that you can prove you're good enough. Being perfect will not prove you're good enough. Being perfect typically proves you're neurotic and overwhelmed. It typically shows you, it shows up in not being able to start. And see, this, you're never able to finish when you do this. And unfortunately, a large percent of society perpetuates the same set of circumstances, attracts the same set of people, operates in the same set of feelings to perpetuate the same story. How do you change your story? By committing. You change your story by a series of words. You change your story by resolutions, declarations, affirmations, and statements. You change your story by feeling, being, and staying empowered one day at a time. You change your story by being in command of your feelings today. I ask many of my clients, see if you can go the rest of the hour without saying need. They don't grasp it. They keep saying the same word over and over because they're not aware. You can't change your story unless you change your words. You can't change your story unless you're aware of the words you perpetuate over and over that keep you in your story. And be humble about it. Be receptive to it. Be receptive to someone who really understands the inner game, who's attempting to guide you to success, not control you to success. Set realistic short-term goals. Rather than these big goals you're going to have by the end of March. Well, setting goals is great. I'm a professional goal getter, not a goal setter. I get my goals because they're clearly defined, they're short-term, they're in increments, they're methodical, they're systematic, and I don't get overwhelmed in it. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, assisting you to change the way you've been changing so you can change the way you feel about yourself so you can change your story. If your story keeps getting you the same place over and over, exhausting you, you're overwhelmed, you can't start, you can't finish. You can start, but you can't finish. You're neurotically perfectionistic. It's time to change your story. If your story no longer serves you, change the way you feel about the events that created the story and begin to create a new story. If you desire to get a hold of me directly, that is 209-932-0227. That is a San Francisco Bay Area number, 209-932-0227. You can also follow me on Facebook or my fan page or LinkedIn or send me a friend request. I do 15 minutes of free coaching for a select group of people who are serious about hiring you to be your coach. I'm not giving away 15 minutes of coaching for someone who wants just a free ride. If you're serious and committed to changing, you can call me at 209-932-0227. This is the last call of January 2016. Have an outstanding evening. I'll see you next Tuesday in February. I'll be in Denver, Colorado this Saturday. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much, and good night.